This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Welcome to Coaching Your Life Coach. I'm your host, Jason McClain, and today we're going to be talking about clear action strategies.
It's so okay to have normal, what a lot of people call shallow desires. They're great. You know, I just got a new set of golf clubs, and they're really nice golf clubs, and it makes it a lot easier to hit a better swing, and I love that. It feels great. However, it's not the end all be all. A lot of people have an idea of, you know, something they want to work on, a goal they want to achieve, right? They're in their career, they want to get ahead. And yet, part of really prioritizing your life, it's really about figuring out what's most important. So, I'll give you a common example. I'll go into a workshop, 150, 200 people. And the first question I'll ask everyone is to say, why are you working? And of course, there's this kind of dead silence around the room for a while. And then of course, finally, eventually, someone will jump in and say, for the money.
Our guest is Robert Harrison with Professionals Edge. Welcome, Robert. Glad to have you.
Thank you, Jason.
Robert's known for patience, persistence, and presence. I'm pleased to have you with us today. We'll be talking about prioritizing your life, arguing with reality, which I can't wait to talk about that one, and then clear action strategies to grow your transformational practice. So for each of those subjects, as usual, we'll be talking about what they are, why they're important to you, how you can implement them into your life, as well as what it'll make possible in your life. So Robert, first I'd like to ask you a few questions about this concept of prioritizing your life. And I know that you've worked with a lot of the major technological companies in the Bay Area, such as Oracle and NEC, and others. And I'm curious, what is prioritizing your life, and how does that work?
Well, one of the things that makes what we do at Professionals Edge a bit unique is that we take a slightly different approach to prioritizing your life. Now, a lot of people have an idea of, you know, something they want to work on, a goal they want to achieve, right? They're in their career, they want to get ahead. And yet, part of really prioritizing your life, it's really about figuring out what's most important. And a lot of times what's really fascinating is when a person comes in for like an intake or an evaluation, they'll have, you know, I always ask them, what's the most important thing that you can do to improve the overall quality of your life? And they'll always have a pretty good idea. And there's no doubt that if they were to do that, that would definitely increase the quality of their life in some dimension. However, to give you an example, one of the things we'll do is we'll then kind of go through and I use a wheel of life. There's kind of eight core different life areas. And then I'll say, after I get their input, who else do you know whose opinion you would deeply respect, that you would deeply appreciate, and that you would trust? And so inevitably, they may say something like my wife or my husband or a particular mentor in their past. I'd say, now, let's imagine that they were here right now. And in fact, let's even role play like you're them. And imagine they're looking at you, looking at your life, right? They're not in your own skin. They don't have the same fears, concerns, the worries that you have. They're kind of looking from an outside point of view in. And what would they say is the most important area of your life that if you spent a little bit of time or if you addressed or set some goals in would really improve the overall quality of your life the most? And what's really unique is that quite often, I would say about 85% of the time or more, it's something totally different than what they had originally come up with. And it's mind-blowing. So in terms of prioritizing your life, it's really ultimately about figuring out what is most important. What's really most important, not just in terms of getting ahead, but in creating a life that's thriving, a life that's sustainable. And one of the things that I really like to let people in the high-tech community especially know is that you can't get ahead if your life isn't balanced. If you don't keep it, if it's not sustainable. The average person can't work 90 hours a week every week of their lives till they're 50 and still expect to have good health, still expect to have a good relationship with people that they love, or be in an environment that's suitable to maintain longevity. So really prioritizing your life with our direction is really about, it's always organic. It's about the person figuring out what's most important for them, but really doing it in a very grounded fashion so that they create a life that's not only helps them achieve the goals that they have for themselves, but do it in a way that's sustainable, that supports the rest of their life really thriving.
Fantastic. Thanks, Robert. So you mentioned a little bit more. Can you say a little bit more about balance, the different areas of your life that you encourage people to balance?
Sure. So there's, you know, in terms of life balance, there's a million different ways to look at what creates a thriving, what creates a sustainable life. A real common way that we start with is just a very basic wheel of life. There's kind of like eight slices in it. And just to give you an idea, one slice might be your career. One slice might be your money or your financial picture. Another slice would be your romance. Another one would be your friends and family. Another one would be your personal growth. Another one would be fun and recreation. Then there's environment. That's kind of like where you live, where you spend your time, the clothes in the car, and all that kind of stuff. All these things affect the quality of the life. And there's a million different ways to kind of divide that up. But essentially what we're looking for is creating the life in such a way where everything supports the highest quality experience over the longest period of time. And what we find is that, you know, if you're focused mostly on the career, you know, to get the house, to take care of the family, to do all that kind of stuff, and if you're so ultra focused on that, that your family falls to the wayside, you kind of miss the point. So we also use a concept of the goal, which really helps people understand the point of balance. So I'll give you a common example. I'll go into a workshop, 150, 200 people, and the first question I'll ask everyone is, I'll say, why are you working? And of course, there's this kind of dead silence around the room for a while. And then, of course, finally, eventually, someone will jump in and say, for the money. And I'll say, yes, for the money. And, you know, and then everyone will kind of chime in with that. And there's a lot of shame around that. Like, oh, my God, if I'm just really in it for the money, what does that mean about me? But then what I'll say to them, I'll say, let's play this out. Now, if you could get the money, right, whatever that is to you, what would that make possible? And quite often they'll go, well, you know, person yell at, I go to the Caribbean, another person, I get the Jaguar, another person, I get the house, I do this, I do that, right? And I say, great. So we put that on the board and I say, great, now let's say we all really all got all that. Can everyone buy into that? And everyone's kind of getting excited at this point. I'll say, now what would that make possible? That would be even better. And so quite often, you know, it starts at that point, people kind of go, I don't know, I've never really thought about that. And I go, well, you know, I'd be able to provide better for my house. I'd feel like I'm more successful. I would have more recognition, more accomplishment, et cetera. I'd say, great, great. And what's even more important than that? What would that make possible? And see, what we're doing here is we're connecting up these drives that we all have and really helping a person to understand why they're doing it in the first place. It's like the difference between the means and the ends. Right? And a lot of times we're so focused on accomplishing the means that we forget to look at the end result that we're doing it for in the first place.
We drop context, or we forget what's really important to us in life, what our true values are that should be fulfilled through the work.
Exactly. Exactly. So part of really getting your life in balance is connecting all those things. It's so okay to have normal, what a lot of people call shallow desires. They're great. You know, I just got a new set of golf clubs and they're really nice golf clubs and it makes it a lot easier to hit a better swing. And I love that. It feels great. However, it's not the end all be all, right? The whole point is what is going to help my life be the most balanced, most sustainable, thrive the most over the longest period of time. That's kind of like a way that we, you know, not that you can measure happiness, but the closest kind of metric to that is the highest quality experience over the longest period of time. So when you really start to connect people up with that, you get to these higher levels where it's like the money gets me the house, it gets me the acknowledgement, it gets me the recognition, it gets me the peace of mind, it gets me feeling okay, right? And so when a person really gets connected up with that, suddenly they're able to start to put that in perspective. They start to adjust their behavior so that in the pursuit of that ultimate goal, they don't miss sight of what they're going after in the first place.
Excellent. Thanks, Robert. That's great. And, you know, I'm curious, what does it make possible in people's lives when they really start to prioritize their life and they start to connect up to those higher, deeper values? What does it make possible in their life for their health, their relationships, their career, their sex?
Quite simply, it helps them thrive more in that area. And when I say thrive, I mean, like, imagine like a flower, right? Or a plant. And if you give the plant just the right amount of sunlight, not too much, but not too little. Just the right kind of soil, not too much, not too little. Nutrient rich, just the right amount of water. It blooms and it reaches its kind of fullest potential. So that's exactly what that means. And by getting really clear, clarity on what's actually most important, what is actually the clear actionable strategy. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but to get really clear on that, what it does is it allows a person to go through and kind of prune different areas of their lives, drop off the things they're doing that clearly aren't working towards that ultimate goal, and adjust the things that they are doing so that they get even better results.
Perfect. Very clear. Thank you. We're going to take a short break to support our sponsors. I'm Jason McClain, and I'm here with Robert Harrison of Professionals Edge, and we'll be right back.
PersonalLifeMedia.com. Free internet audio programs on life, love, and the pursuit of happiness. Listen from your browser, iTunes, your iPod, or MP3 player today at PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jason McClain. And again, I'm here with Robert Harrison. And before we left, we were talking about prioritizing your life and making sure that you had balance in your life. And next, I'd like to talk to you about this concept of arguing with reality. I love that. Can you talk to me about that, Robert? What is arguing with reality?
There's a long and a short answer to arguing with reality. I'll start with the short one. It's summed up by a quote by a woman named Byron Katie, who's kind of a philosopher and a spiritual teacher. And it kind of goes like this. When you argue with reality, you lose, but only always. Let me give you an example.
That's great.
Let me give you an example. If you don't want it to be rainy outside, and yet it's raining, and you make this decision in your mind, and we do this a lot at the unconscious level. I'm not going to be happy unless it's, take a wedding day, for example, unless it's, you know, clear and sunny on my wedding day. And the wedding day comes along, and it's raining. Well, 9 out of 10 people that go through that will suddenly get very miserable and very unhappy and massive suffering. And what's happening here is there's kind of two realities. There's reality as it is, which is it's raining. At least, you know, if you're in Monterey and it's raining in Monterey, then it's raining, right? That's pretty much an assessment a group of people could all agree on, okay? And it's wet outside. And there's this other reality, which is how I want things to be in my ideal world. And then, of course, between the two is this gap or this distance. And if a person requires that reality as it is match up with how they want things to be, then whenever it's not in alignment, they'll suffer. And the degree to which they'll suffer is the degree to which there's a difference, right, between those two kind of realities.
There's two quotes that come to mind for me. One's from a gentleman by the name of Richard Bandler, who said that disappointment requires adequate preparation. And the other was an Eastern spiritual teacher who said, all misery is a result of wanting things to be other than they are.
Exactly. Exactly. So this is, you know, classically, if you look back in almost all traditions, this is the classic root cause of suffering. And what we find is, you know, and you can do it in the professional context, you can do it in the personal life context, the degree to which a person's life is not thriving in one particular area is the degree to which they're checking out. In other words, they're not allowing them to see things as they really are. Why? Because they want to see things as they want them to be.
So rather than having a close relationship with reality, or as the famous Werner Erhard said, a relationship with what's so, then they have this relationship to their expectations, their disappointments as a result. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. A very strong attachment. I think Werner Erhard was famous for always saying, rocks are hard, water's wet, and then fill in the blank.
That's right.
So you could be hanging out with someone that could go, oh, you know, so-and-so did this to me again. Why did they do that to me again? And I'd say, well, rocks are hard, water's wet, and they do that thing they do, right? And these are kind of like the dance moves or the mystical dance moves that we all have. So the basic concept with this is that when we're not present with reality as it is, when we're not really present, in other words, when you're not patiently, persistently present with what is, when you don't allow yourself to see things as they actually are, right? What you're doing is, in essence, you're kind of checking out. And the degree to which you check out is the degree to which you will suffer and they're directly proportional. And the degree to which you bring patience, persistence, and presence into any area of your life is the degree to which you will thrive in that area.
So how do you assist people in closing that gap, in having a more profound relationship to reality rather than their internal desires about how it... And then also, how do you balance that with actually going for that change? Actually go, because, you know, Ram Dass said, everything in the universe is perfect, including my desire to change it. So, yes. So, you know, how do you close that gap and not have misery?
Well, there's a process and there's stages. And there's an old saying that says, first there is attention. And after attention follows awareness. And after awareness follows action. So the very first thing you need to do with the person who is kind of suffering in this way is really help them understand the concept of these two realities. That's got to be the foundational piece, right? It's like, to give you an example, a smoker, right? Common, you know, smoker, a lot of smokers, I smoked for 20 years, they'll lie to themselves about the reality of what smoking is actually doing to themselves. They don't want to look at it. They don't want to feel it. They don't want to think about it. They don't want to acknowledge it, right? And we do this in every area of our life. We do it at work. We do it in relationship. There's certain things that are kind of uncomfortable that we don't want to feel. And so the result of that is when we don't allow ourselves to look at it, reality doesn't care. I like to tell my clients, you know, I could walk out in the middle of 101 with my hands over my eyes and try to pretend that there's no cars going down the highway. And the reality of it is I will probably get hit by a car. So one of the first things we do, and this is where that wheel of life really comes in, it helps them bring attention into these really core critical life areas. And by bringing an attention, by bringing attention into that, the awareness starts to grow. Okay, there's a whole strategy to how to do that, but that's kind of like the first preliminary step. And once that awareness comes and they start to see what's working, what's not working, and be honest with themselves about it, then at that point, we can eventually move on to a clear, actionable strategy.
I think we actually have time to talk a little bit more about how you assist them in closing that gap. So if you're willing.
So one of the first things we do, again, the first part of closing the gap, as I said, is to go through the wheel of life, to help them identify the areas of their life that perhaps they're kind of checking out in, they're not being present to. And then what we want to do is we want to give them a set of practices just to create awareness in the beginning. That's all that's necessary.
And what types of practices are those?
A common example would be having a person, I'll give you a common example. Client comes into the office. Their finances are in disarray, complete disarray. Credit card debts piling up. They've just taken out a second mortgage on the house, maybe trying to refinance a business or something like this, this particular client I'm thinking about. And so one of the things we'll do is I'll have them take, like, on a sheet of paper, right, all of their debt, have them just kind of sketch it out on one sheet of paper, really, really simple. Just all of their debt, right, and all of their income, right, and then their monthly burn rate. I'll just have them get that on one sheet of paper. And of course, when I give them that assignment, and I'll tell you the effect of that in a moment, but when I give them that assignment, here's what I tell them. I say, I want you to go and do this. And the first thing I want you to become aware of and notice is that you don't want to do it. You don't want to sit down and take a look at it, especially if your finances are in disarray.
That's right.
Exactly. When a person's finances are in disarray, most of the time it's because they don't want to look at it. They haven't been present with it. They haven't patiently, persistently been present with it. So what I have them do is I get that on that sheet of paper and I say, now here's the assignment. Your assignment is to, once you have it on the sheet of paper, which is the first challenge, the first step, is to then look at it twice a week. And here's the challenge I tell them. I say, I have never come across a client who, if you accept the challenge I'm about to give you, has not transformed their financial life in less than 6 months. And here's all you have to do. You get your debt, your income, and your burn rate all on one sheet of paper, and you look at it twice a week, no matter how much it stings, no matter how much you kind of don't want to do it, force yourself just to look at it, even for a couple minutes, twice a week. And if you do that after a period of 6 months, your financial future will be radically different. Why? Because what we're doing is we're patiently and persistently bringing gentle, self-honest awareness. That means not beating yourself up. Remember, you know, we have a saying in NLP, there's no failure. There's only feedback. So really, and beating yourself up, by the way, doesn't ever work. What it actually does is it causes the person to want to check out even more. So it's checking out from reality even more, which just adds to the problem. So if they commit to looking at those finances just twice a week, simple practice like this, and I have kind of like, this is what I kind of call a performance hack. There's a performance hack for almost every core life area that if you really apply that, this one simple little thing, that it'll really transform that area of the life. Now, of course, there's lots of other things we can do at much more higher and complex levels, but this is a very good example of a starting place.
Great. Fantastic. Perfect. Thanks. And then I'm curious, Robert, what does it open up in their life? You talked about transforming their finances in 6 months. Some of the other practices, which we don't have to get into now, but if you really close that gap between reality and, you know, what we want reality to be, or if we stop walking around on 101 with our eyes covered, what does it make possible in our relationships, our finances, our career? Again, please, what does it make possible? Open up for or allow for?
Well, the main thing that it makes possible is happiness. It's thriving. See, a person's not unhappy because they're overweight. The person's unhappy because they're overweight, which is reality, and they don't want to be overweight.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
So this is where a core practice like meditation, which is something that I do with almost all my clients, really comes into play, because what's going on here is that the person in their mind feels like, and it's so natural, the whole idea is that, oh God, if I could just get off that 20 pounds, or if I could just get those credit cards paid off, then I'd be okay. If I could just get that relationship the way I want it to be, or get that promotion to work, then everything would work out. It'd all be okay. And in reality, what's going on is, what's actually preventing them from making that possible is the inability to be okay right there where they're at as they are. So this core practice of meditation helps a person really practice being okay in the midst of things as they actually are.
In the work that I do with clients, one of the things I talk about is disidentification. So you have your finances, but you're not your finances. You've got your political affiliation, but you're not your political affiliation. You're not your sexuality, your gender, your upbringing, your race, you know, your ethnicity. You're not your nationality necessarily. But you have all of that. And all that's fine, but it's the attachment to it as a chunk of identity that drives people to make choices that lead to misery.
Exactly. It's almost like each one is an individual investment, you know, like a 401k for okayness, you know, in the future. It's like, you know, if I can just get this area of my life this way, and then this area of my life way, and then this area of my life, then I'll be okay. And the pathology is, underneath that, the root of that is, I'm not okay already as is. And this is the beautiful thing about meditation. It allows kind of the core consciousness, the deeper part of you that already is there, that already knows deep down you're not all these things, to start to organize itself around what it actually knows. And from this space, goals suddenly become play. Getting ahead suddenly becomes fun. Actually losing weight and working out becomes more enjoyable, because it's not like life and death anymore. And so you can actually do it in a way that's more organic, it's more flowing, it's more natural. And what's amazing is this actually helps professionals progress farther up the chain, so to speak, than they ever could before, actually, by being more okay with things as they already are. It's so fascinating.
Great. Fantastic. Thanks, Robert. We're going to take a short break to support our sponsors. I'm Jason McClain. I'm here with Robert Harrison talking about prioritizing your life and arguing with reality. And we'll be right back.
Download Hit On with DJ Star D, new music for your personal life. Get free, soft, sensual, ethereal music and dance tracks that will get you up from personallifemedia.com.
We're back with Coaching the Life Coach. And before the break, we were talking about prioritizing your life and arguing with reality, closing that gap between your how you perceive or want reality to be, and actually being profoundly, patiently, and persistently present to reality. And now, Robert, I'm curious what you attribute, one of the single most important distinctions or principles that you attribute your success as a life coach to. Because I know that not only have you worked with many of the big names in Silicon Valley, but you've also worked with the Montessori schools nationally, and you worked with The Gap. And so I'm curious what you attribute your success as a life coach to.
Well, Jason, success, of course, is an extremely subjective term. And we all have different degrees and different stages of success in our own mind. But in terms of the ability to really affect a large group of people, and kind of one of my core principles is that I want to help others help themselves create a more meaningful life, right? And whatever that means to them, but thrive and create a life that's sustainable. So I think one of the things that has really made a huge difference for me is really kind of applying the own principles. It's being grounded and clear and getting clarity on what's actually most important. Really having a kind of a vision for where I want to go. And I think a lot of people do that, but I think the other piece of that that's missing for a lot of coaches is that a clear vision isn't enough. A clear vision is kind of like, that's like the lighthouse that you're kind of aiming for. And then you need a clear, actionable, grounded strategy, step-by-step plan of how to get there.
So could you describe to me what then a clear, actionable strategy is, other than just a step-by-step plan? But could you go into a little bit more detail about what that is?
Part of, in the context of building a coaching business, in terms of clear, actionable strategy, is really taking a look at the market, understanding who your target client base is, and what their needs are, what their wants are, also understanding who else is out there offering similar services. For example, creating a competitive advantage, distinguishing yourself, and then finding a way to communicate with your target market in a way that they actually understand. Now, a lot of coaches that I know are brilliant. They're geniuses. They know more about personal development because they've dove so deep into that than the average person. Yet, there's this huge gap again between where they're at and the average client's most pressing problem at that moment. And if they don't understand that gap and then adjust their message so that the client gets what they need and they hear it in a way that kind of they can understand and that makes sense to them and that they can apply, then that message will be lost, no matter how beautiful and wonderful it is. So that's really important.
Great. So then you just mentioned a few really important aspects. I know for myself, as I developed my coaching business, were really critical. How would you suggest a life coach go about developing a clear, actionable strategy so that they can reach that vision that they have for their coaching business or practice?
That's a great question. So obviously, the first step is to get clear on what your vision is. Like, why are you going into business? What is it you wanted for yourself when you first set out to go into business? And go through all those kind of clarification questions. And then once a person really gets clear on that, the next piece is to figure out what service they're offering, right? And then who their target market is, and then find a way to actually communicate with that target market in a way that they'll understand. Now, one of the greatest ways to do that is to test, okay? Create an offer, a compelling offer. And really, like when I'm coaching a coach, I would have them step into their ideal client, okay? Once we get clear on what that is. And then really take on the persona of the ideal client and go, okay, here's where I'm at. Here's how I get up in the morning. Here's what I eat for breakfast even. Like, here's what my day is like. Here's what my life is like. I've got the wife. I've got the kids. I've got the demand at the job, the blackberries buzzing, all this stuff. Really get into that and then go, you know, here's my needs. Here's my most pressing, burning desires right now. And then what kind of message would actually get through to me? See, I believe we live in an attention deficit society. And what I mean by that is we're constantly being bombarded by information and offers. And I think there's like 30 million publications produced every year, more than any person could possibly keep up with.
I had read somewhere that we're exposed to nearly a million pieces of advertising a day in an urban environment.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And those are just the deliberate ones. So it's insane. So this is where clarity, focus, and being grounded really comes into part. And I'll tell you something else. This is kind of a little secret of the trade, so to speak, that I would give to any coach. The number one way to go from vision into clear, actionable strategy, and it sounds so counterintuitive, is meditation, believe it or not. Because when you have, most coaches don't realize the resources they have within them. Now, of course, it's not enough to be a good therapist or a good coach or a good Reiki person or a good massage or whatever. You have to be a business person also. Another, not that you're that person, but have those skills. And once you get all those skills together and you have the necessary resources, then what's needed is clarity. And what brings clarity is getting grounded. And the best, most empirically proven way to do that is through meditation. Meditation will help a person start to take that vision and ground it and bring it down into reality and be really honest with themselves. And sometimes it might mean recognizing maybe you can't do what it is you thought you could do for your client. One great way to find out is interview your clients and see how well you're serving them. A lot of coaches don't do that. Do research. A lot of coaches do not research their target market to find out what they really want and what they really need and what's really most important to them and pressing. And if you don't do that, right, if you don't really know what your ideal client wants, how are you going to give it to them? How are you going to be of service to them?
That's right. That's right. So what does it make possible for a life coach if they have a clear, actionable strategy so they can get towards their vision? What does it make possible for their career, for them personally, for their own, you know, personal satisfaction, professionally and otherwise?
If I had to sum it up into one word, it would be acceleration. Acceleration towards thriving. In other words, the more clear they are on what their vision is, on what they actually want, and their clear actionable strategy on how they're going to execute it, the step-by-step plan, the more enjoyable the process is, and the more kind of relaxed they're going to be in that process, because they kind of have a system there that works for them. Not that the system is the reality, but the system provides kind of a structure for that. And the more they're going to move towards that, they're going to move towards that faster. They're going to move towards that in a more authentic way. And they're ultimately going to be more successful. I think the average consumer is getting much, much more savvy than ever before about unclear and confusing messages. Unkept promises. People are not sure what they're committing to, what's being requested of them, etc. And so people are getting really much more discerning about the offers they actually pay attention to. And also part of that is, again, because we live in this kind of attention deficit society, we're being bombarded. So if the message isn't crystal clear, if it doesn't address a clear specific need, and a clear specific need that's actually important to the person, then it's not going to get through. And that's the tough question every coach has to ask himself, is how can I bring what I bring to the world in a way that's clear, that's concise, that makes sense, and that's actually wanted? If you try to sell me a baby stroller, it doesn't matter how great you're at it, I'm not going to buy it. Why? I don't have a child.
Right. Great, Robert. It's been a pleasure having you here. I'm curious, so you obviously offer coaching. How can people reach you for coaching?
There's a couple ways. You can call us directly at our office at 650-591-5327. And my office manager, Alyssa, is great. She can field any questions, explain to people how the program works. We have a group coaching program. We also have individual coaching. That's kind of more higher managerial, executive level coaching. And we also do corporate presentations and workshops and things like that nationally.
Do you have any scheduled workshops coming up, or are those private?
All our workshops are private. They're generally in-house corporate workshops. Currently, we're not offering any group workshops. However, we do have a group coaching program that we're going to be launching. That is going to be via the web, via the telephone. It's going to have movie slide presentations, things like that. And then, of course, we have individual services, and that is basically on a per-client interview basis.
And that's through professionalsedge.com?
That is correct, professionalsedge.com.
Great, Robert. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jason. It was a pleasure.
That brings us to the end of our show. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Jason McClain, your guide in the 21st century marketplace. You can reach me at jason@personallifemedia.com. There's two L's in personal life media. Join us next week when our host will be Ian Bly of Optimized Results. Ian will be speaking with us about communication excellence. For text and transcripts of this show and other shows on the Personal Life Media Network, please visit our website at personallifemedia.com. Again, this is your host, Jason McClain, your guide in the 21st century marketplace.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.